T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
President Trump told reporters today that he has never worked for Russia. Because you know what they say, it ain't work if you love what you do.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to The Good Place's Darcy Carden. Plus, Darcy takes a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
The president has been accused of working for a foreign government while our own government remains shut down. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The government shutdown is now the longest in history with no end in sight. In fact, today the president stopped by reporters to let them know he was carrying on with other business, like a speech to a group of farmers.
I'll be going to New Orleans right now. I'm going to be speaking in front of our great farmers.
Okay, got it. He's on his way to New Orleans, or at least I think he is, because this morning, one of Trump's other personalities tweeted getting ready to address the farm convention in Nashville. Hey, at least it started with an N. And in fairness to Trump, it was only his fourth guess. So, while Trump was off to New Orleans, or as he calls it, the home of country music, the effects of the shutdown were having very real consequences for millions of people. For example, over the weekend, federal employees showed up to food banks in the hundreds. But that's not the food Trump was concerned with today. He was much more concerned with the food he'll be serving at the White House for a ceremony with the college football championship team from Clemson, as he explained to reporters.
The Clemson championship team, the national championship team, will be coming tonight. It'll be exciting. A very great team, an unbelievable team. They'll be coming tonight. And I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza. I really mean it. It'll be interesting. And I would think that's their favorite food.
No, dude, I think that's your favorite food. He thinks he's being so sly. Normally, I would have a salad for dinner on Monday, but they told me they only eat every fast food. Also, can we go back to this?
McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
Why does he say Burger King's plural? Does he think there's more than one? We will be having all of the Burger Kings over to the White House for a summit on trade. I think it's safe to say that had he lost the election, the Burger Kings would have been the name of the food show Trump hosted with Guy Fieri. Now, it is entirely possible that Trump thought shutting down the government would make the Russia investigation just go away. I'm sure his lawyers told him that. You can't be arrested by the government if there is no government. But as we found out on Friday, that is very much not the case. In fact, we got one of the biggest blockbusters yet.
Breaking news tonight from the New York Times. The FBI opened an inquiry into whether President Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia. In the days after President Trump fired James B. Comey as FBI director, law enforcement officials became so concerned by the president's behavior that they began investigating whether he had been working on behalf of Russia against American interests.
while the FBI was investigating whether Trump was working for the Russians. I mean, what tipped them off? Was it Trump's secret meeting with the Russians at the Oval Office, his son's secret meeting with Russians at Trump Tower, his lawyer's secret deal to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, Jeff Sessions' secret meeting with the Russian ambassador, Jared Kushner's secret back channel with the Kremlin, Michael Flynn's secret back channel with the Kremlin, Eric Prince's secret back channel with the Kremlin, Paul Manafort sharing secret polling data with the Russians, his foreign policy advisor's secret meeting with the Russians, the Russian hackers who helped Trump win, Trump asking the Russian hackers to help him win, or Vladimir Putin smile every time he sees Trump. Look at that. That's the smile Putin gives when someone says, "We have captured James Bond." Trump has also met privately with Putin multiple times, and over the weekend, the Washington Post reported that Trump has gone to extraordinary lengths to conceal details of his conversations with Putin, including on at least one occasion taking possession of the notes of his own interpreter. Now, we don't know what Trump did with those notes, but we do know that in her tell-all book, former Trump aide Omarosa said she saw Trump trying to destroy evidence by eating a piece of paper in the Oval Office. And if you forgot that the president was accused of eating paper by his own aide, take note of the fact that we are living through a presidency where that insane fact might actually qualify as forgettable. For every other president before him, eating paper would be number one on the list of craziest things, but but for Trash Can Jones over here, it doesn't even crack the top 100. We for real have a president who may one day say, "If you want my notes, you'll need a search warrant for my belly." And of course, Trump wants to keep the details of his conversation with Putin secret. Every time we find out about a private conversation he had with Putin, it turns out he said something suspicious, like when Putin won a rigged election. And Trump's aides wrote in his briefing in all caps, "Do not congratulate." And then Trump said this.
"I had a call with President Putin and congratulated him on the victory."
Now, in fairness to Trump, he would have read the briefing, but he was hungry. So the president was being investigated for possibly working for a foreign government, and at the same time, he was shutting down our own government. If it feels to you like our political system is in chaos right now, you're not alone. The only one who disagrees is Trump himself, and he made that clear in a tweet over the weekend.
"I just watched a fake reporter from the Amazon Washington Post say the White House is chaotic. There does not seem to be a strategy for this shutdown. There is no plan. The fakes always like talking chaos. There is none. In fact, there's almost nobody in the White House but me."
What? Nothing is more chaotic than a huge building with only one person working. That's why Radio Shack went out of business. So Trump says he's all alone in the White House, which leaves him plenty of time to do important president stuff, like call into Fox News and scream a lot. And that's what he did on Saturday. Fox host Jeanine Pirro started by asking him about the shutdown, and right off the bat, Trump told an obvious lie.
"You're sitting there waiting for a deal. The Democrats are not sitting with you. If this isn't an emergency, I don't know what is."
"Well, I haven't actually left the White House in months."
What? We've seen you leave the White House repeatedly. Last week, you went to the southern border, and in December, you visited the troops in Iraq. Remember? You were wearing one of those oversized jackets you borrowed from Tom Brady? Why is your coat so big? Are you sneaking immigrants over the border?
"Keep it down, guys. We're almost back on the plane."
So Trump claimed he hadn't left the White House in months, which led Pirro to grill him with a series of super tough follow-up questions.
"Mr. President, I mean, when are you going to get out of the White House? I mean, Washington, after a while, gets very depressing."
"Well, I love it."
"Mr. President, I really hope you get out of the White House. I really do. I think you deserve a vacation."
Wow, Jeanine, that's a real hard-hitting question. Just because you're shouting, it doesn't mean you're grilling him. "You deserve a vacation, and I'll tell you another thing. You're a handsome, good boy, and your skin's a normal color." But then Pirro finally got to the news of the weekend, the FBI's investigation into Trump. She asked Trump point blank if he had ever worked for Russia. Now, any normal person in this situation would say, "No, of course not. That's insane. That is not how Trump responded. His entire uninterrupted answer to that question took almost 2 minutes.
Are you now or have you ever worked for Russia, Mr. President?
I think it's the most insulting thing I've ever been asked. I think it's the most insulting article I've ever had written. You know, I fired James Comey. I call him Lion James Comey. Andrew McKay, Peter Strzok, his lover, Lisa Page, they did it. I've been tougher on Russia than anybody else, probably any other president, period. I think it was a great insult, and the New York Times is a disaster as a paper. They've gone so far that people that weren't necessary believers are now big believers because they said that was a step too far. They really are a disaster of a newspaper.
Not once in that entire answer did he say the word no. I mean, that's like if your wife asked you, are you sleeping with Susan? And you said,
I think it's the most insulting thing I've ever been asked.
So after dodging the question on Saturday, Trump tried to rectify the situation today by stopping by the throng of reporters gathered on the White House lawn for his usual chopper-adjacent Q&A. And they asked Trump for a second time whether he had ever worked for Russia.
I never worked for Russia. And you know that answer better than anybody. I never worked for Russia. Not only did I never work for Russia, I think it's a disgrace that you even asked that question because it's a whole big fat hoax.
First of all, why does Trump always choose venues where he has to shout? He only does interviews on the phone or next to a helicopter. If the news gets any worse for him, he's going to do his next press conference on speakerphone from a wind tunnel at a performance of the musical Stomp. Second, can we go back to this real quick?
It's a whole big fat hoax.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big fat hoax. You know, a hoax that only eats
McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
We've got a closer look. Our guest is a very talented actress you know from such shows as Broad City and Barry. She stars as Janet in The Good Place, which airs Thursday nights here on NBC. Please welcome back to the show our friend Darcy Carden, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome back, Darcy.
I like being here.
Good. I like having you here. I want to ask, did you like being at the Golden Globes? Because
I
you were at the Globes. Good. Was it a fun night?
It was super fun. It was my first Globe.
Okay, right. You was only a singular,
fun,
not
yes.
even a plural yet.
Yeah, it was super fun and very surreal. And, you know, it's like all these celebrities and I just kind of wanted to be invisible and look at everybody. There was a moment where I was on the red carpet and Carol Burnett was right behind me.
Uh-huh.
And I, like, couldn't breathe. And she was waiting. It was me, Lucy Liu, Carol Burnett. I'm name dropping. I don't know these people.
Yeah.
And Carol was, like, waiting behind us. I shouldn't call her Carol. Ms. Burnett. And Lucy Liu and I were just like, Ms. Burnett, right this way. Please, don't wait. And then Lucy Liu and I had, like, a cool moment. Like,
oh, right.
We are together on this.
Yeah, that she should go ahead of us.
Yeah.
I know it's been a very busy year. Did you at least get to slow down and relax on the holidays at all?
Yeah, I did. I had a great holiday. The problem with, like, a busy year is, okay, I have a great husband. You know him.
Yes, he's a wonderful guy.
Not just hot, also nice.
Yeah, really. But yeah. I do want to stress for the audience, hot too.
He's so hot.
Yeah.
He's so hot. But we hadn't talked about Christmas presents at all. And it was one of those years where I was like, okay, we're too busy. We're not even going to deal with it. We're just going to, whatever. Whatever comes up, we'll just give each other something small. And on Christmas, I opened a diamond ring, this nice little, you can get it
beautiful,
right?
Yeah.
Or you don't have to, but it's a diamond ring.
Yeah.
And I had gotten him a $50 gift card to a comic book store.
Wow. Wow. Even a gift so bad you can't wrap it.
No. It was a paper envelope. It was so lame.
For those, and everyone should, but those who don't watch the show, from that clip, there was an episode where you played all your castmates. You basically played four other co-stars on the show.
Yeah.
And took on their mannerisms and their voices. Did you know enough in advance to prepare for it?
I did know in advance. I knew a couple months in advance. But the thing is, like, I've known them for years now. And you could probably, I mean, if you were asked to, like, do an impression of, I don't know, who's your friend? Fred Armisen?
Yeah, I could do a Fred, okay.
Yeah, you could do a Fred. You did John Mulaney the other night. Like, you just kind of have, I watched the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. You just kind of, like, have it. But so I had 2 months to sort of, like, peep on my friends.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, creepily watch them. And I honestly, it might have been easier if I didn't know I had to do it. If Mike Schur, the creator, had just told me like the week before, by the way, you just have to like do an impression of all these people. Because I truly lost my mind in those months leading up to it. Yeah.
And you would listen to an audio tape of them all?
Yes. When we did the table read, instead of me reading all their parts, everybody read what would have been their own parts. And I voice recorded it. And then that was what I listened to for weeks. That's it. No music, no like conversation with friends. I would just listen to it over and over. I'd listen to it in my car. There was one day right before we started filming where I was listening to it, blasting it in my car, driving down Sunset, L.A. ref.
Yeah. It's a boulevard.
Boulevard. Look it up. And all of a sudden, I see one of my castmates, William Jackson Harper, who plays Chidi, and he's walking down the street, and I'm hearing his voice, and I, like, think I'm losing it. So I pull over, and I roll my window down, and his voice is just, like, bellowing in my car. And he went... Oh no. He's like, you're going crazy. It
it's like someone who's very bad at kidnapping, who like likes to hear the voice of their victim and then pulls up beside him and is like, wanna join you?
Yes, totally. He was like, goodbye. Yeah. Just slowly.
Also, an incredibly busy year in that final season of Broad City.
Yes, can you believe it?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a great run for that show. And I'm so excited because, for my money, it was just one of the best first years of a show I'd almost ever seen. Barry with Bill Hader. You had year two of that. Yeah, there he goes. There's Bill right there.
Little Billy.
That's what he did before he was a hitman. are we going to enjoy both of those?
Yeah, you are. You were really good. Yeah, last season of Broad City, so good. They just, like, poured everything into it. It's so funny and great, and it premieres, I think, next week.
That's really great.
That's a fact I should know.
Yeah.
I want to say it's the 23rd.
Check it out
on Google.
Google it.
Yeah. And then, Barry, we just wrapped. It was so fun. I get to, like, spend time with Bill and Henry Winkler and all the actors. It's just it's a goddamn dream come true. Sorry.
Well, you're very lucky. You are making a lot of dream come true shows right now, and you deserve it all. And thanks so much for being here. It's great to see you, Darcy.
Thank you.
Darcy Carden, everybody's season 3 finale, The Good Place, airs Thursday, January 24th, here on NBC.
Hey, this is Kevin from Late Night. We're backstage with Darcy Carden. Hi, Darcy.
Kev. How are you? Oh, I called you Kev. How do you feel about that?
I feel fine about it.
Me too. Yeah.
Congrats on so many things.
Thanks.
First of all, season 3 of The Good Place.
Yeah.
It's wrapping up in a couple weeks, the season finale. You talked a little bit about it with Seth, but you had this incredible episode where you played your co-stars.
It was wild.
And you also introduced a new version of Janet.
I did, which kind of felt like Mike Schur, the creator, was almost like playing a trick on me. Mm-hmm. Like he gave me this crazy, weird, exciting task of imitating my friends, my coworkers, and then also being like, oh yeah, and by the way, you got another one. You got to just figure out. But that one was, it could not have been, it was literally like the opposite of, it was dead face Janet, basically. So it wasn't,
neutral Janet,
yes,
right? Yeah.
It wasn't hard to do at all. It was like, he was playing a joke on me, but it was an easy joke.
When you were growing up, did you ever do impressions of like friends or teachers or anything like that?
I don't think so. And it's so funny because a couple times since the episode has come out, people have asked me to do impressions. Mm-hmm. I totally don't do impressions.
Yeah.
At all. I don't, I think I used to do a Bill Cosby impression, which let's maybe cut that out. I'm just kidding. Keep it in. You have to keep it in.
Keep it in.
A really bad Bill Cosby impression and then like a John Mayer impression. But I think the point of those impressions were that they were so bad. Uh-huh. I'm not good at impressions is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But we were kind of trying to go for like a vibe on these characters as opposed to like a straight up impression. Mm-hmm. As you know, we didn't want to like, I think it maybe would look, I don't know, a little like hacky or something. I don't know. We were just trying to find the right balance of vibe.
Well, you guys did a great job.
You're nice.
So entertaining.
Thank you.
To watch. It's fantastic.
Cool.
So many things are sort of kept under wraps about this show.
Yeah.
The first season had that giant twist at the end. What was the audition process like for you to play Janet?
It was similar. I mean, it was the same thing. It was totally under wraps. Usually with an audition, you get like a breakdown of the character and the show and maybe even often the entire script. This was like nothing. This was fake sides, meaning a fake scene.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I knew it was fake. It ended up being fake. It was some like helpful lady that when, this is literally what it was, when your doll broke, you would call a hotline and I was the lady on the other end of that at the end of the telephone, which made no sense, but I was like, Mike Schur, Ted Danson, Kristen Bell, yes, I'm in. So the audition was very weird and fun, and I never truly never guessed in a million years that I would have gotten the part. And then when I did get it, then Mike sort of revealed the whole, not the whole season, mm-hmm. but kind of what this season would look like up until the end,
yeah.
Which he kept from us.
Is Ted the only one that knew sort of the entire season and the twist?
Okay. Kristen and Ted both knew.
Uh-huh.
Kristen totally kept it a secret. Ted told everyone. there was some, like, basically, I don't want to spoil the first season for anyone, but you know what? Yeah. If you haven't watched it, shame on you.
Yes, shame on you.
Not that there's not 1 million things to watch on television, but frickin' watch it, guys. But he has a big twist at the end, mm-hmm. where I guess I won't reveal it, but he would kind of explain to people what the show was about, and they would say, like, oh yeah, that sounds fun, and he would have to kind of prove that it was worth his time.
Okay.
So he would spoil it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which Great. We didn't find out until yeah. afterwards.
What was your reaction when you learned that you booked the show, that you got
oh,
this part?
Oh, God. It was a kind of long wait. It may not have been that long. It felt like a month between mm-hmm. like audition and finding out, but it was at least, you know, 5 days of just like waiting by the phone. And it was late at night. My husband and I were in bed, not asleep, but also not fooling around. God, I made it sound like we were like making out. I'm sorry, Kevin.
It's okay.
Okay, cool.
I didn't assume.
Okay, but maybe someone listening did. Yeah. we were just hanging out. Actually, we were watching Fargo season 2, which has Ted Danson in it.
Right.
Speak of the damn devil. Oh. Okay, so I got a call from my agent that I had gotten it. I flipped out. I like, with all the power in my body, I punched the bed like I was so excited. And my husband Jason's leg was under that. So I punched my husband Jason in the leg so hard.
Uh-huh.
But he really pushed through and, you know, helped me celebrate and didn't like get mad at me.
He was able
to
recuperate quickly. Yeah.
It was great. It was a great night. It was really wild. I felt like I was dreaming.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You also get to not only work with Ted Danson, but another sort of sitcom legend, Henry Winkler on Barry.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
Yeah, and even weirder is that they're like the two nicest guys on the face of the earth. They're wonderful.
That's great.
Henry Winkler, what a doll. I love him. He's like a real, he's a real like lover. Do you know what I mean? He just has like so much love, and he loves, actually both of them, they love being actors. I guess that's why mm-hmm. they are like living legends, and they could just sort of like rest and chill on their like, you know, mansions or whatever. But they keep working because they really love acting, and they love actors, and they love being part of an ensemble, and they're both really good sort of like leaders, you mm-hmm. know. They it's easy to get a little jaded and complain when you're on set for 12 hours or whatever, and they never do. So it's like, if they're not complaining, we're not going to complain.
Yeah, they set the tone for sort of the whole production, which is great.
It's great.
Are they mentory?
Yeah, like, they totally are.
I don't know if that's a word.
Yeah, it's definitely a word. And
yeah, okay.
If it's not, it is now. We get it. They totally are. You want advice from them, right? Mm-hmm. I think both of them have offered advice and immediately been like, is this okay that I'm giving you advice?
Yeah.
Like, they're not trying to just like spill the advice all over the place. Again, I don't know what that means, but you kind of get it, right? Spill the advice all over the place.
It's being mentory.
Yeah, being mentory. If I ask them for advice, they have it. When I listen to them, I'm like, turn record on brain. Like, mm-hmm. don't forget any of this, because it's often, you know, true gems. They're good role models in like every way.
Yeah, that's great.
Also both, like, not to mention, have amazing families and amazing spouses that I would love to emulate with my amazing spouse who I punch in the leg.
Yeah, you're off to a good start.
Yeah.
And then you're in the final season of Broad City.
Yeah.
Gemma's
back, baby. Barely, but I was so pleased that I got to even be any part of the last season. I love those girls, Abby and Alana, so much. You know, when I started doing Upright Citizens Brigade back in like what feels like the 80s, it was like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. It feels like so long ago because we've all gotten so old. But it's really been amazing to watch their journey, and that they've kind of like included me along the way has been, I don't know, life-changing, truly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Did you do UCB here in New York at all?
York.
You did.
Yeah.
You started in New York.
Okay. I started in New York. Like, I went to college and then moved to New York and was like, what the hell am I doing? Mm-hmm. And then I found UCB, and then I knew what the hell I was doing.
Gotcha. And you continue to perform there in LA.
Meaning in LA. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do as much as I possibly can, which is sometimes weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's
it's
exciting.
Great. It's nice to have like a little home base, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be at the 92nd Street Y Friday night doing
a chit chat.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure
fun.
There's like a cooler way to say it, but we're just going to be, it's like, we've been friends for 10 years. We love hanging out. I went on Abby's book tour with her and we did, you know, the same type of thing where it's just, it's fun to just chat, you know, like what we're doing, Kev.
Yeah, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
Darce.
Yeah. There we go.
Jay.
That Jay. We got two J's in this room.
We
the
do.
Listeners don't know that.
We do.
We
they
do.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Now they do.
Darcy, thank you so much for being here and for sticking around to take a couple more questions.
Anytime, brother.
All right.
Cool.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.